Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. So we've already discussed several facets of the model view, view model design pattern, or MVVM. In this lesson, I want to add one more piece to the puzzle so that we can employ MVVM in our upcoming project where we work together on an entire exercise. So if you'll recall, MVVM provides a clean separation of concerns between the data model and the view, and it does this through the use of a view model class, which is responsible for publishing methods that return collections and instances of classes that are defined in our data model, and returns them to the view so that the view can bind to it and the user can see that data on their phone screen. So that covers the display of data. What if, for example, we want to not only bind data in our view, but we also want to bind the click event of a button to a method that's defined on our data model? Well, commands allow us to do that. And at this point, it's easier to really show you what I mean rather than to explain the theory about how this all works. And without a concrete example, it's going to be difficult to kind of get my point across. So what I'm going to do is create a new project, and we're going to call this Binding to Commands. And this little app that I'm going to build is, it might be used to like check in cars at a car rental company. So customers come to the airport, they drop off their rental, and then there's a car rental employee and she's using her smartphone, and she can see a list of cars that are scheduled to be returned today. And next to the description of each car, there's a little button that allows her to click it and say, this one successfully checked in, this one successfully checked in. And then once they've checked in, we want to return back the time of day that they've checked in, just so a little visual feedback that certain cars have been checked in, certain ones haven't. Okay, so what I'm about to do is far from a complete example, but it will allow us to see a simple example of commands in action. So the very first thing that I want to do here, I've got things all discombobulated. Let's right click on the project and I want to add a new class called the car class. And I'm just going to paste in the implementation of the car class. You can see that I'm just using auto implemented properties for an ID, make, model, and the checked in date time. And so ideally we would store this checked in date time as a real date time instead of a string, but I want to do this because I want to format this, the time that it was checked in, nicely. And as you'll learn in the next lesson, we could create a value converter for the purpose of formatting the date nicely while keeping the value as a date time, but I didn't want to do that for this example. We'll talk about that later. All right, so the next thing that I want to do is create a car data source. And again, its job will be to create instances of the car class and return those to our view so that it can bind to our data model. And so what I'm going to need to do is add a using statement for the observable collection. So I'm going to hit control period on my keyboard in order to add the using system.collections.objectmodel to this file. All right. And you can see that in addition to a private field called cars, which is of type observable collection of car, we're also implementing a static method called getCars, which will create three instances of the car class, populate their various properties, and then return it as an observable collection of car. All right, so that's a good start. Continuing to set up this example, I'm going to go to the mainpage.xaml, and actually I'm going to go to the mainpage.xaml.cs, and here I'm going to create a private field and a public getter, which will become my data source for the cars. And as you can see here, it's kind of not formatted nicely. Let me go ahead and add a using statement for system collections object model to get observable collection all squared away. Very nice. All right, so we have a private field, and at the point of instantiation. We're going to go ahead and call get cars, which will return three instances of our car class. And then we're implementing a read-only public property called cars view model that will be used then on our main page. In fact, let's go there and let's go ahead and set the data context for our page. So I'll just go here right before the background binding, and I'll set the data context for the page to the cars view model. And where will you find it? It'll be its relative source will be itself. Okay. All right, so far so good. And then the final thing that I want to do is actually implement a list view, and each list view item will be defined in the data template as a stack panel, and the stack panel will have, let me move some things over here, we'll have a text block for the make and the model, and then a button next to that with the words check in, and then finally a text block that will ultimately show whenever the time when a given user checks in a car that has been returned to the car rental facility. All right. So at this point, the application should work. We should be able to bind to it and see data on screen, but it will do nothing meaningful just yet. This was all set up to this point. All right, so here we go. Olds Cutlass, Geo Prism, Ford Pinto, and then the buttons do absolutely nothing. And we're gonna remedy that next. So what we wanna do is go back to the car class, and ultimately what we wanna create is a property of car that our mainpage.xaml can bind to, that whenever the user clicks the button, it will fire off that method, that command, so that we can change the checked in date time and kind of change its state for that instance of car. Now, in order to make this happen, we've got to set up some infrastructure, and we'll come back to the car class. But before we do that, we're going to have to create a class that represents the check-in button click event. All right. So what we'll do is create a class called public class check-in button click, and it is going to implement the I command interface. I'm going to hit control period to add the using system.windows.input namespace. And then I'm going to hit control period one more time in order to implement the I command interface like so. And you can see by doing that, it really does three things. First of all, it implements this can execute method that returns a bool, true or false. We'll come back to that in a moment. It implements an event, can execute changed. So whenever we make a change to whether or not the given command can be executed for this particular instance of the car, we'll want to raise this event to let anything binding to it know that its state may have changed. And then finally, the execute method. What will happen whenever somebody clicks the button that's bound to this check-in button command, okay? And so, first of all, I need to answer the question, can this command be executed? And here, I could write logic to decide whether or not this command can be executed based on the current state of a given car object, whether it's already been checked in, you wouldn't want to allow it a second time, and so on. Ultimately, I'm going to return a bool, either true or false. And in this case, I'm just going to hard code it to always return true. If you are interested in learning more about kind of the nuances of this can execute and the can execute change method, I would point you to this article on MSDN called Commanding Overview. It was written for WPF, but it's still true for any XAML-based presentation technology like we're using here with the phone API. And so it talks more about the can execute and can execute change. In this case, I'm not going to implement that logic. I'm going to say you can always execute this command. All right, so that's number one. The big thing that we need to do, though, is decide what happens whenever somebody clicks the button. And here, I'll actually have to do some of the hard work for my class. Now, before I get to that, I want to come back up here. Now that we've created this check-in button click command, I want to implement. Another property called the checked in command property on my car. All right. So also then in the constructor for car, I want to set this checked in command property to a new instance of the check in button click. I now have a class that can be commanded, or in other words, that I can bind a command to. Great. The next thing that I want to do is tell the command what to do whenever this command has been executed. I have to make a fundamental decision whether I want to handle this in the data source or in the car class itself. My preference is to handle it in the car class, but let me show you a quick implementation of how I would go about implementing this in the car data source. So here, I would create a check-in car, static void check-in car. You pass in the car that you want to operate on. We'll find that car in our private collection of cars. And then once we find it, then I'm going to set its checked in date time to daytime.now, but I'm only going to pull off the time part of it with string.format and set it into this checked in daytime. So that's one approach that I could take. And then here what I would do is just this. I would call it like so, car data source dot check in car, and then use this parameter that's passed in, which represents the object instance that was clicked on, that's associated with the command, and cast that to car, and then pass that into my method. All right, so that's one option, but ultimately I like the option of implementing this on the car class itself, like so. So here I've created check-in car as a public property of the car class. And so now I can just say this particular instance of car, set its checked in date time to daytime.now, just pluck off the time with string.format and set that property. Then here in the execute, I would do just something as simple as this. So get the parameter, which is passed in, which is of type car, I cast it to car, and then I call for that particular instance, the check-in car method. All right, great. All right, so the next thing that I need to do is to now implement this on my mainpage.xaml. So here on the button, I'm going to set the command equal to, and here I'm going to binding checked in command. And then I'm going to send in a command parameter, which will be just the data source for my list view. All right, so it's that data context is just going to flow down into the button, and we're going to pass whatever instance of the car class that we're currently, you know, working with inside of this particular item. Go ahead and pass it in as the command parameter, and that's what comes through here and why we can cast it back to car and then call, you know, the checked in car method for a given instance and know and have some confidence that it will change, you know, the right checked in date time for the right instance of car. All right. Now, unfortunately, whenever I run the app, I'm not going to get the results that I was hoping for visually. There's no real way to know that we've actually checked in a car, but I assure you, behind the scenes, it's working. In order for that to really to work correctly, in order to update the user interface that our data model has changed, we're going to have to implement the interface that allows the a given class to tell a view that, hey, I changed, and so you need to update yourself. Do you remember what that is? Well, we're going to have to do something like this. We're going to have to implement the iNotify property changed, and then I'm going to hit the command period to add the system.component model namespace, and then hit control period one more time to implement the iNotify property changed interface. And so it implements the event handler, but we have one more job to do here, and that is to actually implement this notify property changed method that you pretty much want to use this templated wherever you are going to implement iNotify property change. And then furthermore, what we're going to have to do is change this from being an auto implemented property to a long form, the full property declaration. So we're going to go prop full tab tab, and then string checked in date time. And I'm going to also, I guess I should do that, and then change this here to checked in date time, and there's lowercase here. Let's see. Okay. And then in the setter, what we'll do is we're going to call notify property changed, and we'll give it the name of the property that is invoking this. Okay. And now I think that's all I need to do. Now when I run the application, whenever I click, for example, the Geo Prism has been checked in, or the Ford Pinto, you can see that our text block is updated. Because the text block that bound to the checked in date time was notified that the property changed, all right, by implementing this iNotify property change. Okay, but that's not really the focus of this lesson. The focus is how to bind our button cleanly to a method like check-in car that we implemented in our data model class, like so, through the use of this check-in button click that implements iCommand. All right? So the beauty of a command is that it keeps the separation of concerns intact while allowing you to handle events that are triggered on the user interface that affect an instance of your view model. So we talked about the implementation of iCommand. We walked through a complete example, and we also looked at the practical implementation of an iNotify property change interface as well in the process. So hopefully that was beneficial. We're going to use this technique a couple of lessons from now as we build a full application. And so we're getting closer to that. We'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you.